Greetings, dear child of God. Greetings in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To have a false view about the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ is to have a wrong view about everything else throughout the universe. I'll tell you, it's great to be saved. And those of you listening today who can bank your eternal destiny upon what He did, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon what He was, and find your assurance in the Word of God, we have everything to rejoice about. Even in the midst of a perverse, decaying society, a world that is already condemned and traveling the sliding tracks to a burning hell, you and I can rejoice because we know Him whom to know aright is life eternal. Reading from 1 John chapter 5, He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, and he that believeth not God, this may be you, friend, if you are a believer not in God, then the Bible says you have made him a liar. You have called God Almighty a liar. Why? Simply because the Scripture says he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. To refuse to believe the testimony of the Bible, the Word of God, is to call Almighty God, the omnipotent potentate of heaven and earth, is to call him a liar. And this is the record, the Bible is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this eternal life is in his Son. I want to ask you, friend, are you a possessor of that eternal life today? Can you bank upon what he did, upon who he is, and what the Word of God says? Listen carefully to the next verse. I'm reading from the first epistle of John, not the Gospel of John, but just before the book of the Revelation, for those of you not familiar with the Word of God, there are three short letters or epistles that John wrote, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I'm in 1st John chapter 5, and verse 12 says, He that has the Son has life, referring back to this eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There are many kinds and categories and classifications of people listening to today's broadcast. But according to the Word of God, He sees them in two groups. Those who have Christ, they possess eternal life. And those who have not Christ, and they do not possess eternal life. Some of them are religious, moral, refined, decent, good folks by the standards of the world. But they are calling God a liar because they refuse to believe the record. They refuse to believe upon the Son. They refuse to receive Jesus Christ and have God impart to them His gift, eternal life. Once again, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Why? Because the previous verse just told us that eternal life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the church. It's not in your religion. It's not in all that you do to obtain salvation. Eternal life is in a person, and that person is the one at God's right hand even now, the one who was crucified, buried, and resurrected the third day, the source of eternal life. Listen to this 13th verse, and then we'll get into Colossians as we have been studying during past broadcasts. These things, John says, have I written unto you. To who? To church members? To religious people? No. To you who have believed on the name of the Son of God. To those of you who have committed by faith your all to Him. To those who have called upon that name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Only the name of God's dear Son, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Listen now. I've written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I don't know how many times I've been told by friends, well-intending friends, oh, you can't know for sure if you're going to heaven until you get there. Well, John didn't believe that. And I could give you scripture after scripture of Paul and others who knew that they had eternal life. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Friend of mine, the scripture says these things are written so that believers, guilty, repentant believers, those who have come just as they were, those who will come today just as they are, and trust him, the God, the Christ of eternity. He has for you his gift of eternal life, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses, please note, from all sin, past, present, future. When he died for sins on the cross, we weren't even born. Yet he died for us. He died for our sins. He paid the price in total and in full. And when he had by himself purged our sins, he was able to cry out, "It's finished." He didn't need your puny efforts. He didn't need your feeble works. All he wants is your confidence, your faith, your belief, your trust in him. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And friend of mine, I say today, from the word of God, it's possible to have, to possess eternal life. And according to the infallible word of the living God who cannot lie, he says you can know you're going to heaven. Now, if you're listening today and don't know you're going to heaven, we invite you to close the broadcast to call us. We invite you to contact us by through the radio station or by writing us. And we'll be happy to come and meet with you and introduce you by the grace of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I tell you, there's nothing as exciting and as thrilling, as satisfying, as knowing him, the God of eternity. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians, "Know ye not that your body," yes, your body, "is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. You're not your own. You belong to him." We read in the book of Romans, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." Don't let anybody tell you that you can be saved and not get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the believer's body the very moment he experiences what John calls the new birth. "Except a man be born again." Well, actually, it was the Lord Jesus who called it that. John recorded it for us. And friend of mine, if you have been born again by the Spirit of God, you possess the Holy Spirit. And you possess eternal life. You possess a destiny that's to be with him and like him forevermore. Well, we've already used half our time, and we haven't even started into the text in Colossians where we have previously been studying. But I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter 2 through verse 8. We have already covered the first four verses, but we want to read them to get the background. And then we'll consider as many verses as time permits. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." He had never seen these people, but he loved them in the Lord for Christ's sake. "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hidden." Where are all these things hidden? "In Christ, whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I tell you, indeed, there is treasures, there's riches evermore in the person of our Lord Jesus. And then Paul begins to warn them. He tells them about the dangers that come from enticing words. It was true in Paul's day. It's true today. He says in verse 4, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Oh, they'll try to lead you astray. They'll try to tell you that Christ is just a little bit less or somewhat less than the Bible says he is. And that's why we open these broadcasts each time as we consider Colossians, by telling you and reminding you to have a false view about the person and work of the Lord Jesus is to have a wrong view about everything else. Friend, if you're off-center to Christ, the whole world is out of focus. And warn those who come to you with enticing words. Paul says, "For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Hallelujah. I'm always glad to see people who are steadfast, consistent. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you go into Acts chapter 2, you find that the Christians there were steadfast. And they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread, the apostle doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. Another rendering of that verse says, "They steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to these four things." I thank God, first of all, for those who have the greatest, as Paul says, and that's genuine Christian love. But the thing that I appreciate next in a child of God, in a believer, is steadfastness. I've seen too many yo-yo Christians, too many roller coaster Christians, up and down, hot and cold. But the Scripture says that steadfastness counts. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in Colossians 2 and 5. "I have been beholding your order and the steadfastness, your commitment, your consistency." And that's why there's so many people who are not interested in the things of God. They've seen too much of the slipshod lies of many who claim the name of Christ. Well, he goes on As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. May the Lord bless these verses today. And again, our time is almost gone, but very quickly, verse 5. This verse shows how intimately aware the Apostle Paul was of the problems and perils facing the Colossians. Let me ask you, are you concerned about other Christians, other believers, even some who may not be of your exact persuasion? Paul here pictures himself as a military officer, looking over the assembled troops as they stand ready for inspection. Note the two words that he uses there, order and steadfastness. Both of them are military terms. The first describes the orderly array of a company of soldiers, whereas the second pictures the solid flank which is presented by them. And Paul rejoices in spirit, he's not with them in the body, as he beholds the manner in which the Colossians were standing true to the Word of God. I don't think this could possibly be overemphasized if we had 2 hours on the radio today. The absolute necessity. Christian, it's not an option that you follow the Word of God. It's not a privilege that you can choose or not to choose following the Word of God. It is mandatory. Paul to Timothy says, "This know that in the latter days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungodly." On and on and on it goes. We're living, I am convinced, in these perilous last days. I believe we can, if sensitive, hear the footfall on the door of the threshold. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. And we must remain true to the Word of God with an orderly manner, with steadfastness, waiting for the return of our commander-in-chief, the captain of our salvation. But till then, obeying the marching orders of the Word of God. And then as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, oh, he pleads with them, so walk ye in Him. The emphasis here seems to be upon the word Lord. And again, I wish we had the time to undergird the importance of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A lot of people run around hollering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And I thank God for His earthly name. But friend of mine, I hope He's more to you than simply Jesus. I hope He is the Lord Jesus Christ. These people had originally received Christ Jesus in law as Lord. In other words, they had acknowledged that in Him there was complete sufficiency. He was enough, not only for salvation, but for the whole of their Christian life. And now Paul urges these saints, these believers, to go on acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. Friend, He is Lord of all, and I trust you allow Him to be just that in your life. These folks were encouraged that they might not stray from Him by accepting the false teachings, the cunning craftiness of men, however they might sound. And the word walk is one that is often used of the Christian life. It speaks of action in our progress. You cannot walk and remain in the same place. And so it is in the Christian life. We're either going forward or backward for the Lord Jesus. May He bless these thoughts for you today.